Okay, Yishkoyach, for those, the proud and the few who came out tonight, and we're starting Parshas Bamidbar, and the truth is, I looked back, I don't think we've had a lot of Shiurim on Bamidbar, because very often, Bamidbar is followed quickly by Shavuos, so we have Shiurim on Shavuos for Bamidbar most of the time. But tonight, we're actually going to learn about Bamidbar. And in the beginning of Bamidbar, it says, "U'es Rosh Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael Mishpach Osam Leveis Avosam B'mispar Shemos Kol Zachar L'Gulgul Osam." We see here that when we're elevating the Rosh of Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael, when we're taking count of the Jewish people, it uses a David language, L'Mishpach Osam, according to their families, Leveis Avosam, to their ancestral homes, to their father's homes. And what's interesting is a medrash, Yalkut Shimoni, Remez Tafresh Pei Dalet, who has a very, very strange statement that is, of course, related to Kabbalah Satorah. That Hashem, that at Kabbalah Satorah, the nations of the world were very jealous. And they came to God and they said, "I don't understand, why are you doing this? Why are you only giving the Torah to them?" And the answer is a different answer than we're classically told, right? It's not the medrash of, "Oh, what's in it?" A different medrash. That Hashem says to them, Hashem says to the nations of the world, "You know what? You want to know why the Jewish people are getting this?" Hashem said, "You bring me your Sefer Yuchsin, the way the Bnei Yisrael brought me theirs, and then I'll let you have the Torah. Bring me your Sefer Yuchsin, your book of your ancestry, and I'll give you the Torah if you do it the way the Jewish people bring there." So the question is, what does that mean? The nations of the world don't have Sefer Yochsin? Rabbi Nosson Gestetner, who was a big Talmud Chacham, big posek in Eretz Yisrael, passed away a little over a decade ago. Tremendous, tremendous Talmud Chacham and descendant of Chassam Sofer. He brings down, like, what do you mean? The Torah tells us. Eila told us Yishmael. The Eila told us Esav. The Torah itself tells us the Yichus, right? Of the nations of the world. Eila told us Noach after the flood. We're told about all of Ham's descendants, all of Yefes' descendants. Shem, okay, a thin line goes to Avram Avinu. But the Torah tells us about the lineage of the nations of the world. So what does this medrash mean? What's a Yalkut Shimoni talking about? And Rav Nosson Gestetner has such a beautiful idea that is really, I think, encapsulated so beautifully in the famous story about Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. That one time, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, right, we've told this story before. He was on a flight to Israel, and he was sitting next to another person, and another person who was a little bit older like Rabbi Yaakov, and they were talking, and the person found Rabbi Yaakov very intelligent, and they had very compelling discussions back and forth. Rabbi Yaakov, turns out, this person is a professor in one of the big universities in Israel, and they're mamish talking for hours. Again, this guy knew a lot of Torah, was interested, found Rabbi Yaakov so friendly. And after the schmoozing for hours and hours, he says to Rabbi Yaakov, "I have to ask you one question." He says, "Sure." He says, "Who are these people always coming to check on you?" Rabbi Yaakov says, "I'm on the flight with a lot. We're going for family simcha. Those are my children and grandchildren." So he says, "That's amazing." He says, "If I was on the flight with my children and grandchildren, I don't know they'd come over to me once to check on me. I don't think they'd check on me once." And Sir Yaakov told him famously, "You know what the difference between us is?" He says, "I believe that I'm descendants from Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. I believe my ancestors were at Kabbalah Satorah. So every generation further down is what? Another generation further away from Kabbalah Satorah. So my grandchildren see me as their link to the greatest event in all of history, and I'm closer to that, and they come to seek my wisdom. But you believe human beings came from what? Monkeys. So you're closer to being a monkey than they are." Right? That's what Rabbi Yaakov told him. Rav Nosson Gestetner says, he doesn't use this story, but he said, that's what it means. The way he phrased it, are you embarrassed of Saba or are you embarrassed in front of Saba? You embarrassed of your Safta, you embarrassed in front of your Safta. What does that mean? How do you view the generations that come before you? Do you view them as, "Oh, they were so ignorant, they knew nothing. Ah, come on, what were their lives? Their lives were so pathetic and so meaningless. Our lives are so much better." or to view them as these were Kedosh Elyon. They had so much Torah that I wish, you know, I could be Zocha to have their insights, to be able to learn from them. They're my Balei Amesora. And so Nosson Gestethner says, when the Jewish people came with their Sefer Yuchsin to the Ribono Shel Olam, Hashem said, I could give them the Torah. You know why? Because in generations from now, how did they look at the generations before? Meaning, think about today's day and age. Think about how people today, who have a certain mindset, look at their great-grandparents. Oh, they were so ignorant. They were so uncouth. They were so unintelligent. They knew nothing. They were so biased. They were so this, they were so that, right? Everything was wrong with their great-grandparents. But a Jewish person looks at their great-grandparents, the greatest generation, the Mesiras Nefesh they had for Torah. We don't hold a candle to them. We're nothing compared to them. So Rav Nosson Gestethner says, any nation who won't bring their Sefer Yuchsin and be so proud, this is my Babi, this is my Zaidi, this was my Alta Baba, this was my Alta Zaidi. So then in a few generations, when Hashem's going to say to them, wait, why aren't you keeping my Torah? What are they going to say? You know what they're going to say? Oh, my grandparents, they were Neanderthals. Literally or figuratively, right? Like, you think I have to keep the Torah because my great-great-great-great-grandfather accepted the Torah? Because my great-great-great-great-grandmother accepted the Torah? They were ignorant. They knew nothing. We are enlightened. We know so much. We don't have to believe in a God. We believe in this. We believe in that. So Hashem said, why should I give you the Torah? Because if you look at your ancestors as ignorant, if you look at your ancestors as uncivilized and uncouth and not knowing anything, so then you're going to reject what they did. But if you look at your ancestors and you say, Masay agiu masay lamasay avosai, when am I going to be zocha to touch the actions of my Alta Alta Baba, my Alta Alta Zeta? Think about who they were, the Mesiras Nefesh they had, and how they had to live, and what they did to be Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, and how we have it easy compared to what they had. And so then Hashem says, I could give the Torah to, because you're going to look at the generations before you with great reverence, with great respect. And when they accepted the Torah, you're not going to say, what do you expect to them? Of course they're going to accept the Torah. They knew nothing. They didn't know about Netflix. They didn't know about, you know, about what we know about science and culture. And of course. So Hashem says, that's the difference. And Rav Nosson Gestethner says, it's very interesting. If you remember from Slichos and Yom Noran, there's something, a phrase we say very often, Ashamnu mikol am, boshnu mikol dar. What does it mean, Ashamnu mikol am? We're more guilty than any nation? What does it mean? Why are we more guilty than any nation? Really? We're more guilty than any other nation? He says, no, Ashamnu mikol am, because boshnu mikol dar. Meaning the umos olam, they're not embarrassed in generations before them. So you know what? Just as the generations before them didn't keep Torah mitzvahs and didn't care about it, so they also don't. So they're not embarrassed. But Hashem, we are guiltier than any nation because boshnu mikol dar. Because we'd be embarrassed in front of our great-great-great-great-grandmother, right? Because they'd say, you're complaining about Torah mitzvahs? You know how long it took me to do a laundry? Do you know how long, right? Or whatever they would say. Whatever they would put us to shame with. Right? Kosher, you're complaining about kosher? Do you know how long it took to salt a chicken? To defeather the chicken? To, you know, you brought it to the shochet shechted it, but they shechted it and then they gave it back to you. And then you had to do everything, right? So that's what he says, Ashamnu mikolam, because boshnu mikoldar. We are guiltier than any other nation because we're embarrassed from the generations before us. That's exactly the nekuda. And he says, that's why the Sefer HaYuchsin is so important. That's why every person, l'mishpachosam, l'beis avosam. It's so important to a Jew to know where she's from, where he's from. We have to know who came before us. And because of that, we have that reverence, we have that respect for the generations before us. So even though there was Eila told us Yishmael, and there was the Eila told us Esav, in the Torah telling about the Yichus, but how did they view them? We know what Esav said, even about his own father, that he did great kibbut av. What did Esav say about his father? When is the old man going to die so I can take vengeance on my brother? Right? His hatred for his brother, even though he had a certain respect, but clearly it didn't go too far. Right? It only went to a certain degree. So this, the Lahoros not Lil Nasan, that's the Svarim written by Rav Nasan Gestetner, he brings down this beautiful idea, L'mishpachosam, L'beis avosam. This is why the Sefer Yuchsin is the reason why Hashem gave us a Torah. Again, just on a very practical level, it makes sense. Right? Because we respected generations before, so what they did, we're going to keep to. Think about our Mesoros, think about the Minhagim that we have, and how important Minhagah is in the Jewish people. Right? We don't take these things lightly. These are not things that we just summarily dismiss. We take it seriously. So this is why the Shabbos right before Shavuos, Amidbar, Kimat always, in Chutz La'aretz, is the Shabbos before Shavuos. What do we talk about? L'mishpachosam, l'veis avosam. We talk about recognizing where we come from. Recognizing the generations before us. And that's why we keep Torah. Because we view ourselves as not reaching the generations before us. And hence, that's why we keep Torah. But at the same time, we know that the Torah tells us that each family, each shevet, had its own degel, had its own flag and its own symbol. And we know that the Torah tells us, Ish al diglo ba'osos l'veis avosam, yachanu b'nei Yisrael mineged saviv lo'ol moed yachanu. And the Medrash famously tells us that why did the Jewish people have flags? This actually happened after Kabbalah Satar. We're reading at the Shabbos before Shavuos, but Parshas Bamidbar is when the Jewish people are getting ready to go into the land. This was after Kabbalah Satar actually happened. And why did they have flags? Where do we see? Where did flags come from? So Medrash Bamidbar Rabba Beis Gimel. This week's Parsha says, that, you know where the Jewish people had the idea from flags? At Kabbalah Satar. I think we one time mentioned this. They saw 20,000 groups of malachim, and each group of malachim had a flag, a different flag. And they're like, hey, that looks awesome. Hashem, can we have flags? Moshe, can you ask Hashem if we can have flags? What's going on? What does this mean that the Jewish people wanted flags? Why did they want flags? So the emes is, what's the whole message of the flags, that each shevet have a flag? It meant that every group of malachim had a very specific purpose. And Klal Yisrael, they wanted to know, Hashem, how are we all different from each other? Are we exactly all the same? Or do we have some uniqueness? Is there something different that we have from one another? And that's really why the Torah tells us, L'mishpachosam, l'veisavosam, ish al digla, ba'osos, every person goes to their flag by the sign of, implying that there are signs even for the beis avos, for each ancestral home. You know, you think about in England and Scotland, they have like the, what do they have? What are they called? Like the family crest. Thank you. You have a family crest, right? So, I'm just thinking Hogwarts, you know, the crest. And the different homes. That's what I was like, wait, I don't want to say that. But L'maisa, right? But Lemaisa, that's what they're asking for. At the same time, we have to recognize, that beautiful story that I read about Rav Tzvai, that he was already retired, but he would go in for Miluim. And one time in Miluim, he goes in, and it's Chodesh Elul, and he's giving a drasha. That's what he would do. He'd go around and give drashas to give chizuk. But he comes, they bring him into Big Base, and it's a whole group, and he never saw it. It was like totally disorganized. No one's really sitting anywhere. It's hodgepodge. And he says to the mefaked, what's going on? He goes, Harav. He says, the pilots don't want to sit with the tankists. The tankists don't want to sit with the artillery. Artillery doesn't want to sit with the infantry. Intelligence, they think they're smarter than everyone, right? So no one. And so he got up there, Rav Tzvai, and says, we know the beginning of Parshas Nitzavim says, Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem Lefnei Hashem Reshechem Shevtechem Mechotvei Veitzecha Ad Shoev Memecha. So he says, I don't understand, from your woodcutters to your water schleppers, aren't they the same? Like, what does that mean? From the garbage man to the guy who cuts you, like, I don't understand. Why are you saying, why don't you say from, you know, the big doctor to the garbage man? Like, why do you say, mechote veitzecha, atchoy memecha? So the Rav said, you know why? Because ultimately, whatever job you have, we're all in the same army. We serve the same purpose. Why does it say, Chotav Etzecha Atshoev Mimech? He just says that it's all about how you contribute to the world. A Chotav Etzecha, the very act, what does he do to the world? A Chotav Etzecha, a woodcutter? He's actually destroying the world to a certain degree. He's breaking down the natural world. The Shoev Meimecha, the water drawer, what's he doing? He's taking the water and hoping to bring more life, right? So he said, that's the only difference. Whether you're a Chotev Etzecha, that your role is actually to destroy the physical world to try and help, or Shoev Meimecha, to someone that's drawing and helping build in that way. But really, we're all the same. Said, I don't care if you're a pilot who are like an Israeli, Tzahal, the pilots are the most, beyond the Navy SEALs. But if you're a pilot, mamish, top of the top, right? And then you go fly for El Al. And you have to deal, you're like, Nebuch. You see all these guys, these gevers, back in the day, shooting down Syrian MiGs. And now, El Tov, let's go to Tel Aviv, welcome to New York. Like, okay, whatever, whatever does it. But Lamaisa, we have to realize we're all serving the same. But it doesn't mean that we don't have different roles. Even though we're all Saviv Lamishkan, we each have a Degel, we each have an Os, a different Os. And we just know it's very important to fulfill that. For example, the classic example, you think about a guy who's in infantry, in the army. Or, let's say he decides, they tell him, okay, stop shooting, we're sending in the infantry. So he says, okay, great, I'm going to get off my howitzer and I'm gonna run with them. Like, you idiot, what are you talking about? Stay by your big gun. If we need you on an instant, you have to be able to shoot. What do you, the planes come in first, then the big guns, then the tanks and the infantry. You can't decide, okay, I flew my mission off the plane, now I'll go get on a tank. No. And just like infantry, you can say, okay, I'm just going to go on a plane. No. But how does the Israeli army figure out where you should go? Do you know how intense the tests are for your profile to see what part of the army you can get into? It's unbelievable. Again, when I was in 11th grade, I always think about this story. When I was in Israeli high school in 11th grade, the guys during winter break, what were they doing? That's what I tell all the time. My friends in MTA 11th grade, they were on Collins in Miami. They were in Vermont skiing. Cancun wasn't a thing then. The richest, they went to Vail. They were going to Vail. Maybe if you were going to the Bahamas. My friends in Israel, they were going to boot camp, getting up at Fort Light to get a better profile, and they invited me. I'm like, heck no, that's okay. It's like, no, Gedalia, that's okay. I'm not going to. No. Thank you for the invite. I don't think I want to get a 4:30 run with a 50-kilo pack on my back for, I don't think I'll do that. I'll be okay, right? But that's what they're doing. And intense psychological evaluations, intense eye tests, right? You don't have 20/20. You're maybe you could fly a helicopter. Nebuch.
I got a desk job.
No. That's not true. No. No, you can't fly a plane. You can even fly a helicopter. You can't fly a plane. If your glasses. Even if you say your lenses, no. You have to be perfect. But meaning the Israeli army, the psychologists and the doctors who test, they really put everyone where they think what they're going to do is to serve in the best way, to serve the klal. And you know what? You know what's fascinating? Even amongst the Shvatim, there was division. Think about Levi. You had some Levim who were Kohanim, but even the Levim who served in the Beis HaMikdash. You had the Meshorim, the singers. You had the ones who sang with their voice. You had those who played the instruments. You had the Levim who were the Sho'arim, the ones who controlled the gates. The Gemar Erech and Yud Aleph on the Beis says that one time, one of the brothers who was a Levi who closed the gates, he was involved in the gates, told his brother, who was a musician, listen, I got to leave early. Can you do me a favor, just close up the gate tonight? And when one of the Tanoim, don't forget, the early Tanoim were in the Beis HaMikdash, they saw the Levi put down his instrument, he was walking the gate, he goes, what are you doing? He's like, what do you mean? I'm going to close the gate for my brother. He goes, you're Chayv Misa if you do that. Chayv Misa B'dei Shemayim. You're a Mizam, you're a singer. You're not a gate guy. You have different jobs. You and your brother were given different jobs. You are not allowed. That's it. They say there was a story, the Beis HaLevi, the first Rabbi Yosef Dov HaLevi Soloveitchik, when a very wealthy individual, was a real Tamtzim. He was a real miser, didn't give tzedakah. And he saw him once late in the Beis Medrash, steiging. the Beis Halev walked up to him and goes, I think you're mixing up what your job is. You get a good night's sleep so you could go to work and make a lot of money and support the people who are doing this. You can learn a little bit, but that's not your job. Know your job. Know what your role is. You don't understand your role properly, right? You can learn, but that's not what you're supposed to be doing. And so what we have to recognize is, ultimately, we all have the same job. To be Mar Bekvod Shemayim Ba'olam. To make Hashem's name great in this world. To bring Hashem into this world. Again, we always say, it's not about us. It's not about us, it's about Hashem. But even amongst the Shvatim, and even in the Mishpachos, in the families, even there, it gets divided. However, you know what? And they say, Bali Musar point out, but you have to know that even when you recognize my role as Lubavitcher Rebbe famously said, we're all Tzvos Hashem, we're all in the army of God. Even then, you have to remember, it's about Hashem and not about us. And there are times that you have to even change what you think is what's normally expected because the circumstances are always changing. And it's a famous story, I think we one time told this before about Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, that one time he was late for a shiur, very strange. Talmidim are looking for him, and they see him holding the hand of a woman. It's like, what the heck? What's going on here? And Rabbi Yisrael Salanter is holding her hand. Hello, what's going on? And it turns out that afterwards, the woman walks away, and they said, Rebbe, what's going on? He said, this woman had two children who passed away. Her husband's very sick. The only parnasa was she was renting out the family horse. The horse just died. And she was so distraught, so I saw that she needed someone to hold her, someone to comfort her. So I held her hand and told her, like, don't worry, it's going to be okay. I'm going to get you a horse. I promise you I'm going to get you a horse. And I just had to hold her hand and tell her, it's going to be okay. I'm going to get you a horse. Don't worry. And he looked at his Talmidim. He's like, that's what Hashem wanted me at that moment. They say there are many stories like this. There's someone named Rav Nachum Shadiker. Rav Nachum Shadiker was from Poland, made Aliyah like 1840s. And he would fast all week, like no joke, like fast the whole week. Rav Busu, a grandson of Rav Avasali, 1 week a year fasts. The week in Shovim, the week of Parshas Beshalach, he fasts the whole week. This Rav Nachum Shadiker, that famously, him and his three brothers all had a dream at the same time. Like, you have to make Aliyah. So they all three of his brothers made Aliyah at the same, independent. They didn't know. They'll meet in Israel. Like, hey, what are you doing here? Like, I had a dream. I'm like, me too. Like, very, very unique family. And one time, there's a guy who comes into Shul, I guess. This is when he was still in Poland. And they say to him, oh, do you knew where you're from? He said, no, I'm just visiting. He said, do you need a meal? He said, I did, but Baruch Hashem, I was so hungry, but I had a good meal. He said, really, where do you eat? He said, I ate by the Rav. He said, what do you mean you ate by the Rav? Which Rav? He said, by Rav Nachum. He goes, what do you mean you ate by Rav Nachum? He doesn't eat. He goes, he just ate before. He's like, what are you talking about? It's Wednesday. He didn't eat today. The guy's like, I just had supper with him. So after Meir, some of the chaver went up to him, Rav, like, this guy's crazy, right? He goes, no, I had a suda with him. It's like, why did you have a suda with him? It's Wednesday. You broke your fast? You're fasting since Motzei Shabbos, since Malav Malta. He would fast mamish. It's like, you broke your fast? He's like, you have a guest over. If I would sit there not eating and I'd have the guest eat, you know what the guest would feel like? So instead of fasting for Hashem, I ate for Hashem tonight. But the story to me, a story that the Chazon Ish told Reb Chaim Kanievsky, is like the ultimate. Because I've had this when the Chazon Ish, he told him about his grandfather. The Chazon Ish's father, right? The Stipler married the Chazon Ish's sister. So Reb Chaim Kanievsky's grandfather was the Chazon Ish's father. So he told him about his father, told him about his grandfather, Amaisa, that one year, Yom Kippur, your grandfather wasn't feeling well. Your grandfather wasn't feeling well. And the doctor came and visited your grandfather, Erev Yom Kippur, and told him, you have to eat as soon as you feel very weak. You have to break your fast. As soon as you feel a little bit, you have to break your fast. And he said, okay. And the Chazon Ish said, You know when your Saba broke his fast? 10 minutes before the end of the fast, he broke his fast. Can you imagine? Most people, what would they say? I'll stick it out for 10 more minutes. 10 more minutes. I'll do it. 10 more minutes. But he was teaching Reb Chaim Kanievsky. Your grandfather was a man of halacha. The doctor told him, you have to eat. As soon as you feel a certain weakness, you have to eat. So it was 10 minutes before the end of the fast. He said, you know what? I've reached that point. I've reached that weakness. And he ate. And he ate. And he didn't think, say boo about it. Because what we have to recognize is that, you know, when we're all around, we have our degalim, we have to know that the degel, of course, represents the uniqueness of each shevet and the family crest, the uniqueness of every family. But we always have to remember what the greatest good is, what we're really doing here. And that's whatever it is the Ribbono Shel Olam wants of us at that time, whatever it is. You know, and when you think about it, the story of Boaz and Ruth is a wild story. Boaz is one of the Gedolei Adar. And he sees this Moabite woman in his field and he starts going talking to her like, what? Pasnished. What? That's worse than Rabbi Yisrael Salanter going and hold a woman's hand. Like, what? The Gadol Adar is going to this young woman who's in his field and starts talking to her. Where are you? I haven't seen you before. You need help. Make sure. Oh, you're Naomi. Stay. Like, it's in this whole conversation. Right? Most, you know, like, Hayitachin, how could this be? Because Boaz saw a person and said, you know what? I have to reach out to that person. He didn't have any airs of who he should be, what he should be like. He just asked himself a simple question. What do I think Hashem wants from me right now? I see this person all by herself. Everyone else is collecting with someone. She has no one. She's not from here. She looks different. I don't know who she is. Let me go say hello. Let me go see what she wants. Let me go see where she's from, how I can help her. It turns out, Naomi, of course, my relative. And the end of the story is Melech HaMashiach. David HaMelech. Right? When you think about where David HaMelech came from. So this is an important idea that when we look at a Parshas Bamidbar, we recognize how everyone is encamped around a certain way. It means that everyone has a specific role. But at the same time, we have to remember what the broader role is. And never to lose sight of that. And to always ask what it is that the Ribbono Shel Olam wants of us at this time. And I think that this is a very important way to prepare for Shavuos. I don't know if there's going to be a shiur next week, right? I just don't know. JC dinner and then SCP and then Erev Shavuos. I mean, we don't want your Wednesday night Erev Shavuos, right? I don't think.
We do, but we can't.
Right. Okay. Right,
I think a women's shear on Shavuos?
Yeah, but the second day, not the first day. I was told not the first day this year, Erev Shabbos. Okay. Not Erev Shabbos. Yeah, so it'll be the second day of Shavuos. Second day of Shavuos, yeah. So, with that, of course.
Thank you, sisterhood.
But it's Shabbos.
It's going to be Rita's ISIS.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. Okay. But so now everyone who's listening to Shir here is in Springfield. We have good ice cream for our women's Shir, or good desserts.
But just the ices.
But just to remember also, not only this about the mission and about the greater role, but also remember, think about this as we prepare for Shavuos. You know, as a friend of mine who is a mechanech in the yeshiva says, you know, always would tell his talmidim, think about where you are, and think about all the generations that came before you. To bring you to where you are, right? It's really an amazing thing when you think about it. And what is our Sefer Yochsin, right? Who is our grandfather? Who is our great-grandfather? Who is our great-great-great-grandmother? What were they like? Again, and a certain generation back, we have no idea. But do you understand, if you identify as a Jew, do you understand the Mesiras Nefesh, ultimately, that your family had to have to a certain degree? To just still be identifying as Jews today, because Nebuchadnezzar, Mirachim, there are many who do not. Many who had those same generations before us and walked away. You know, I often talk about the cousins I share, the cousins that I have, we share the same great-grandfather who was a Rebbe in Tor Vadas. And it's really, really shocking. So we have to take this time. If the Medrash says that on Shavuos, that Klal Yisrael came to Hashem before Kabbalah Satorah to Sefer Yochsin and said, in this Achus we're going to keep Torah. maybe we should think about the Mesiras Nefesh, to think a little bit about those that we knew from before, and to think about how maybe we can follow their example. In memory of Rachel's mother, whose yard site is this week, the Rezel Bas Michal, right? The Shamash Aliyah. Thank you, Rachel. Shkoyach.